Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gant, alongside Jeremy Yespe. It's been a long time since we could say that. And for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun. I want all your ideas. I want all your opinions, and I want all your votes. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. And if you have an opinion, number to call is 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. 3070, and you can listen at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan, and you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Jeremy?
Hey, Paul. How you been?
Oh, doing great. I mean, you know, you were missing an action for a little bit. Guess on a little vacation.
That's what happened to me. I have two kids in 3 years, Paul. Vacations, broken clavicles.
You know, welcome to life and the meaning of it. But today we're expected to be joined by ESPN's Mike Hill, who hosts NFL Live. You see him on ESPN News. You see him on SportsCenter. Sometimes you see him on ESPN2's First Take. So you see him a lot. And you'll hear him here today as we're going to talk about a little NFL, talk about some of the storylines and some of the things that's going on as training camps start around the league. Also, we're going to talk about jilted lovers. Today, Brian Colangelo, the general manager, team president of the Toronto Raptors, came out and essentially said Chris Bosh quit on his team down the stretch. But we'll get into that as well. But also the big news now is T.O. has signed with the Bengals. He's got a job, everybody. T.O. has finally got a job. A one-year deal worth $1 million with incentives. So, I mean, actually the salary, Owens gets $2 million and a chance to make another $2 million in bonuses. So, I mean, T.O. has a job. He signed with the Bengals with Chad Ochocinco and those boys. Should be very interesting. Reality TV, these are two reality TV stars. Chad has his show on VH1 and T.O. has his show as well. I don't watch Chad's. I watch T.O.'s from time to time. But, I mean, it should be very interesting in Cincinnati. What are your thoughts on that, Jeremy?
Well, I mean, are we going to talk ratings or are we going to talk football? The obvious thing for the Bengals is, and I think you saw it last year, that they really have a fair-weather defense. But now their offense really, I think, becomes much more well-rounded. They springboard into 2010 as a major player. Even though Owens is 36, I think I really thought what Chad said yesterday and sometimes today was true is that Terrell Owens does not need to be the MVP of the league, especially on that team. People forget that they have other major weapons. I mean, they do have Cedric Benson, who came off of a great year last year. They have Carson Palmer, and they have Chad. And I think now this team, offensively at least, becomes a force to be reckoned with in a division that's not that exciting.
Well, I mean, you have the Steelers, you have the Ravens. In terms of excitement, those teams don't bring a lot of excitement, but those are two quality ball clubs there. But with the signing of T.O., coupled with Ochocinco in the mix, and now Antonio Brian as well, I mean, you have three legitimate wideouts. The question that I have.
Well, you have two legitimate wideouts, and you have Paul. Come on, you have two legitimate wideouts.
No, it's
only a wideout.
It's
decent, but he's not legitimate. I mean, he's far from legitimate, Paul.
He had a very good year last year for.
One good year is not legitimate. One good year is.
I think Antonio Brown is a solid wideout. And with those three, you definitely have a lot of weapons there. My only concern is, you know, these guys, T.O., Chad, these guys like to have balls thrown their way. Is there enough balls to go around?
No, Paul, this isn't the Miami Heat with three young players. I mean, there's plenty. I think if anything, and you're starting to hear this coming out now, is if anyone's going to really suffer in all this, it's going to be Cedric Benson. Where last year they were pounding the run, and this year they're really not going to be able to do that probably as much, because this becomes to a certain degree a much more diversified passing offense, which means it's in the NFL it's not as fashionable to run when you can pass, and now they certainly can pass, and they probably will pass. Passing is what people want to see, and they have the capability to do that. But to say there's going to be problems with balls, I don't. Terrell Owens is, you know, I don't think he's in this part of his career wanting and needing that level of spotlight. He had arguably, when you look at his numbers in Buffalo, he had a very good. He had a standout year on a team that had no quarterback.
He had an okay year.
They had no quarterback.
55 receptions, about 800 yards.
On a team that had no quarterback. They had no quarterback. You put him last year on the Bengals, I guarantee you he'd have had more than 55 receptions. I guarantee you he has more than 55 receptions. In fact, guaranteed. You heard it here first. He has at least 75 receptions. At least.
So you're talking about a Pro Bowl year for T.O.
It's not, but well, it's a Pro Bowl year. If 75 receptions doesn't really put him in the Pro Bowl, because what he can do.
You're talking about 75 balls. I mean, you caught 55 balls last year for about 800 and some odd yards. You're talking about now 75 balls.
Minimum for he'll get at least.
That's an additional 20 balls, and that's a 1,000-yard receiver at that point.
Well, yeah, 920s to 1,080. And the reason why is because Terrell Owens can go back to really doing what I don't think any other receiver, at his level has the ability to do, which is he can still take it deep. But Terrell can take those. He can hit the five-yard, seven-yard out because he has the power right off of the line to he'll push that cornerback right off of him. And he can be that possession receiver, you know, hit that 7-yard out where for Chad, I mean, he does not necessarily have that upper body strength. He'll burn them all deep, and he'll get 17, 20-yard outs because he has those, you know, that route running ability. But that's where the Bengals will really see a lot of mileage off of Terrell, which is, you know, his frame.
You're saying 75 balls. I think it's going to be along the lines of the 55 balls that he had last year, 829 yards. I mean, the statistics last year, 55 balls, 829 yards, 5 touchdowns. That's about right for T.O., I think, at this stage of his career.
He has taken 2 years off. He's going to have a Randy Moss year.
And with Antonio Brown in the mix, I mean, that's going to take away some of his balls. And also Cedric Benson is still going to get his carries, maybe not to the level that he got last year, but he's going to get his carries.
He's going to rebound the way Randy Moss did when he went to the Patriots. Even though he's 36 years old, Terrell Owens is probably in the top 10% of physical, you know, he is physically probably one of the, you know, especially in wide receivers in the NFL, probably number one. The way he takes care of his body, and he's taken 2 years off. I mean, last year was a joke for him. He didn't. You know, and when you watch what he does, when he says in the locker room, I paid a lot of attention to him at Buffalo. I mean, he was making a case in point at 1.9 to talk to receivers because he went into a press conference and said he doesn't want to speak negatively about the team. He knows that they're trying, and that's, he has nothing more to say other than they're trying their best. And he was chastised for being honest. And he didn't. For even he was actually chastised for not speaking, which is almost incredulous to even watch what happened to him last year. And, you know, and now you really think about he can be a producer on this team. He may not score the touchdowns. See, that's the thing, Paul. You know, I don't think he's going to have a flash year. I think he's going to have a statistically more maybe overall impressive year, but he may have only six touchdowns, four, five touchdowns.
Well, again, you say 75 balls, and to me, he caught 55 balls last year for 829 yards. So if you say 75 balls, that's over 1,000 yards receiving. That's the Pro Bowl year. I don't see it for T.O. Again, probably along the lines of what he had last year, 55 balls, maybe 800 yards, and a few touchdowns. We're now joined by ESPN's Mike Hill, host NFL Live, ESPN's First Take, ESPN News, ESPN Sports Center. Mike, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good, sir. You're on with me
good,
and Jeremy,
good.
Paul and Jeremy.
Say it again, Paul and Jeremy. What's up, man? How you guys doing, man?
So well, Mike. It's good to get you on, good to get your thoughts.
Yeah, man. I'm happy to be on with you guys, especially talking football with you.
Now, Mike, today, big news. T.O. signs with the Bengals.
Yeah.
What are your initial thoughts?
The T.O. Joe Cinco show, huh? I like that. I mean, I think I was hoping that Cincinnati would have signed them before they signed Antonio Brown in the offseason. But I'm happy it worked out. Chad and T.O., very good friends. I think it's a good complimentary piece for Chad. I think it's going to fire Chad up. I think they're going to push one another. And the fact that Carson Palmer was working out with T.O., actually out here where I am right now in L.A., in the offseason and came back and gave him a glaring review to Mike Brown and people in Cincinnati and the personnel in Cincinnati, I think that's what really put him over the top. The fact that Antonio Brown, of course, is a little bit hurt and they got some concerns there. But I think Terrell Owens, you give him that one-year contract, he knows he's only got that something to prove, just like he did in Buffalo. He's going to be on his best behavior. It's not going to be an issue. And you got a quarterback in Carson Palmer who's a veteran and he knows how to handle it because he did a good job of trying to handle or handling Chad Ochocinco's personality for all these years, too. So I think he'll be able to do a good job with both of those guys.
He's handled Chad Ochocinco, but now you add T.O. into the mix, a diva in some respect. Antonio Bryan, another guy who hasn't been a choir boy in his career. Can this really all mesh together? I mean, is there enough balls for all these guys?
I think so. I think they gotta buy into it. I think if first of all, Chad Ochocinco's got the right personality, basically saying that he's Robin to T.O.'s Batman right now. So he's not coming in there thinking, okay, I'm the number one receiver, and T.O.'s coming in, he's gonna be my secondary receiver, and we're gonna put Antonio Brown in the slot. I think they all know that this is a chance for them to create something special in the AFC North. I mean, because you think about that division right now, you know, Cleveland's not gonna do anything. Pittsburgh with the Ben Roethlisberger situation, you don't know what they're gonna be able to do. Baltimore, of course, it should be the favorite in that division, but you never know. I mean, Cincinnati was a playoff team last year, had a really great defense, strong running game, and now that they got that extra weapon in that offense, man, this might be something that might be able to put them over the top. So I think they'll kind of keep their egos in check and go out there and hopefully for the betterment of the team. Now, you talk about the whole Cincinnati Bengals as a whole. This is a team of malcontents. This is a team that a lot of projects, you know, secondary projects, people who are trying to come back from something, the pretty much the castaways, the players that nobody wanted, you know, the Cedric Benson's on the team, the Pac-Man Jones, and the Tank Johnson's and everybody. Even Mike Zimmer used to talk about how nobody wanted this, the players on this team. So I think they understand their situation. They've been able to handle it. They were able to handle it last year, and I think they'll be able to do it the same thing this year.
And Mike, you brought up a key name there, which was Cedric Benson, and you called him what's a castaway. And last year he has a career year. And with the signing of T.O., and you have to remember, Benson's going to have another good year with these wideouts.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the fact that you bring in another threat. I mean, you can't put 8-9 people in the box when you got, first of all, you got a good quality Pro Bowl caliber quarterback in Carson Palmer. As long as he stays healthy, they'll be fine. Now you got three weapons. You got Antonio Brown, you got Chad Ochocinco, and you got Terrell Owens. And don't forget Andre Caldwell is still a pretty good receiver too. So you got a mix of receivers in there they're going to be able to spread the field out, throw the ball downfield, and open up the running game a little bit more. So I think they'll have the proper balance that they need on offense. So I think, yeah, just bringing another weapon there definitely is going to help the running attack.
Yeah, Mike, go ahead, Paul.
No, go ahead, John.
The one thing that Paul and I were saying actually right before you got on was, as well, it's their defense last year, at certain levels, I mean, was in a defensive division, didn't do that bad. And now, like you had mentioned with Pittsburgh, the first four, if not six games without Roethlisberger, this puts them in an upstart position to begin. And you know, they could take a 3-1, a 4-0 start where Pittsburgh, which has predominantly been the division leader, is going to be looking in a downward slide.
Yeah, I mean, well, Pittsburgh has definitely got a lot of question marks right now with what they got on. I mean, they got to look at their defense to kind of help them toe the line until Roethlisberger is back, which more than likely is going to be week four. I mean, they're giving him a six-week suspension, but more than likely with good behavior, and he's been on his best behavior since the suspension came down, going through the rehab process and going through the class and everything for the management, anger management, whatever. I think he'll and alcohol and things like that. I think he'll be back by week five of the season. And if you look at Pittsburgh's schedule, I think they only played one team from last year who was a playoff team within the first 4 weeks of the season. So they got a pretty easy schedule the first four games. So as long as guys like Charlie Baskin and Dixon can hold a line for them. I mean, why am I on a blank
Leftwich,
for the quarterback?
Leftwich
yeah. Can toe the line for him until he gets back. I think they'll be fine. I don't think there'll be much of a problem. But having said that, if they go 2-2, you look at a Baltimore team who's going to be very fierce this year, who's going to be strong, the playoff team last year. Let's not forget Pittsburgh didn't make the playoffs last year either, even with and Cincinnati, the other playoff team out of that division, and both of those teams got better in the offseason. Pittsburgh's just going to have an uphill climb, even more so without Roethlisberger.
Now, in looking at the Big Ben situation, do you agree with the six-game suspension that Roger Goodell laid down? Because, I mean, quite frankly, the guy wasn't convicted of any crime, wasn't charged with anything. So as far as I'm concerned, he's an innocent man on some level. Wasn't the suspension that had to be done by Goodell?
Well, if you look at it, I mean, Goodell, you don't have to be charged with any crime. You don't have to be convicted of anything. Pac-Man Jones was never convicted of anything. If you look at his history, it's just it's a reputation that the NFL must uphold. It's the personal conduct. It's your conduct. It's bringing negative attention to your team, to you as a person, and to the NFL is what Roger Goodell is trying to cut out. So he doesn't even want players to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You could be an innocent victim. Like, look at Michael Vick's situation. That's why,
right.
In a sense, that's why people are thinking about, like, okay, you were in this situation before, all right? Now you put yourself in a situation where you might be in trouble again, which he's not going to get suspended from what we're hearing. But I'm pretty sure when they meet on August 3rd, he and the commissioner, commissioner is going to tell him, look, you know what, you're on your last leg here. You can't put yourself in a position by going to a party or throwing a party for yourself and, you know, things like that happen where somebody
shot.
Even
I want to interrupt you because I think you raise an interesting point, which is being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you're saying Roethlisberger was, and we know Michael Vick was. So, I mean, shouldn't he have also at some level at least had even a game suspension?
Michael Vick?
Yeah.
Well, I think in Michael Vick's situation, I don't know. I mean, I think if you give him a game suspension, it's almost to the point where you got to give him a little bit more than a game suspension, to be quite honest with you, because this is a guy that, you know, you banned from the league. And he's like I said, this is his last shot in the NFL. So if you give him any kind of suspension saying that he's done anything wrong like that to that point, it's almost like you gotta give him a six-game suspension or eight-game suspension. You gotta send that message if you're gonna do something like that. But when Roethlisberger case, let's not forget, even though he wasn't convicted or charged of anything, he was in a similar situation not long ago, like 8 months prior to the first one. So
oh, absolutely.
Just by putting yourself out there in that regard, and then, you know, even though he wasn't charged with any crimes, you heard district attorney basically saying that he was immature in his actions and that, you know, taking, I don't know if he took advantage of the young lady or whatever, but just the embarrassment that it brought to him as a player. And, yeah, it's probably a little bit more because he's a quarterback of a very popular team. But the embarrassment that he brought to himself, to his team, and to the NFL, I think that's one of the reasons that they felt like they need to do something about this and set that tone. Because Roger Goodell is a no-nonsense commissioner, and he's proven that, and he's continuing to do that. And I think the six-game suspension was worthy, to be quite honest with you. And he's really lucky that he didn't get more, to be quite honest.
Now, you do think Michael Vick should have got suspended for this latest incident?
I think what Michael Vick did was wrong. I think what Michael Vick knows that, you know, right now you can't sneeze that hard without somebody saying bless you. I just think that Michael Vick can't jaywalk. Michael Vick can't be seen in a bar in public having a drink like he was when he first got out of prison and he was waiting for Roger Goodell to make the decision about whether he can come back. And you can't do things like that. You can't give the public or the people who don't like you or doubt you or your critics any kind of ammunition to say, look, you know what, he hasn't learned his lesson yet. You know, you can't bring any kind of attention, bad attention to yourself. And when you put yourself out there and you charge money for an affair and you have the public come in for a party and you can't control who comes in there, yeah, that's putting yourself in a bad situation. I'm not saying that Michael Vick can't have a 30th birthday party. I'm not saying Michael Vick can't have fun, because he definitely can. But when you put yourself out there in a point where you put it too far in the public and you can't control the type of people who come to these parties and this establishment and whatever, just like in this case here, then you're only asking for trouble. And when you're somebody like Michael Vick, you can't afford any kind of trouble.
And you're right. He can't afford any type of trouble. And hopefully he has learned from this. He says he's learned from it, but only time will tell. But I will say that Michael Vick is a grown man. Granted, he like you said, he can't sneeze without the public coming down on him. But in terms of having parties and being 30 and enjoying the money that you have, I mean, in some respect, he has done all the things they need to do. He went through his probation officer. Everything was fine there. He had a public party. Yes, bad judgment, that's all he's guilty of here.
He is, but you can't be guilty of bad. You can't be guilty of anything.
Right now, I mean,
Michael Vick can't be guilty of it. I don't care how small, because it's going to be brought up. Like I said, Michael Vick has a speed. If Michael Vick gets pulled over by a cop in Philadelphia for doing 72 and a 65, we're going to hear about it, and it's going to be news because Michael Vick did something to break the law.
Mike, you made a great point, Mike, in regards to the same with Roethlisberger. It's the pattern. And with Vic, the pattern, it was poor decision-making. With Roethlisberger, it's poor decision-making with young women in nightclubs. And the players have to be consciously aware that their boss, as you said it three times already, is no nonsense. And no nonsense means, especially if the spotlight's being shined on you negatively, think about where you're going to have your 30th birthday party, and think about who's going to come there. And if you're Roethlisberger, think about the next time a 20-year-old girl approaches you in a nightclub, you know, what you're going to do.
Right. You have to, especially if you're Roethlisberger and you went through something similar to that. Even if you were innocent, even if it's been brought up, you got to understand that sometimes athletes are going to be the victim, but they're also going to be the target. But you can't allow yourself to be the target. Even myself, somebody that's in the public eye, somebody that has moral clauses in their contract, there are certain things that I would love to do that I just can't do because of what I do and who I work for. Ben Roethlisberger's case, he is more of a target because he's more of a name. He's got a lot of money. He's popular. He works in the NFL where they just don't tolerate any kind of distractions like that. They don't want anything negative being brought to their team by any of their players or their coaches or anybody. So Roger Goodell has proven that over the years that he's been in charge of the league.
Now, Mike, every year we go through this with Brett Favre. Is he coming back? What's he going to do? I mean, more than likely, I mean, it's my opinion, he will be back. He just wants to miss out on training camp. What do you think about this whole Favre thing?
Well, that's the bottom line. Everybody knows that Brett Favre's coming back. I think Brett Favre knows it. Brett Favre can say what he wants to, that he's not sure. Yeah, Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to get up and go to work tomorrow. I'm not sure. Who knows? I mean, nothing's guaranteed tomorrow, but I know what I pretty much plan on doing. I know where my mind is leaning. I may wake up tomorrow and say, you know what, I don't want to work anymore. I don't want to support my family. But, it's America. You can do that. But everybody knows that Brett's coming back for another season and that he just doesn't want to go through the rigors of being in a dorm room for training camp in Mankato. That's pretty much the thing. But, you know, after a while, you know, he's done it for the past 3 or 4 years, so it's gotten old. The first couple of years, I hated it. I'm like, you know what? If you're going to be there with your teammates, be there with your teammates. If they got to go through the drills.
Are you tired of comfort?
I've been tired. I mean, it's almost like I get this question every year, this time of year. I mean,
Mike, is it healthy, though? Is it healthy for the NFL? I mean, a guy like Favre with the legacy that he has and that he will have, is it healthy for him in the current media to have so many people saying what you just said, which is, I mean, you're tired of him. You're tired of you just play football and shut up like everybody else, or just walk away from the game and let the league honor him.
I think what he needs to do is, you know, sometimes you need to be honest, and I don't think in this situation you can be without looking like the bad guy. If he just came out and if somebody were to put up a truth bubble over Brett Favre's head and says, you know, hey, what are you really feeling? Are you coming back? Yeah, I'm coming back. I just don't want to go to training camp. If he were to say that, then some of his teammates would look at him bad. Some of the media, they would look at him bad. But if he were to come out and basically kind of hint, so it's like, you know what? I'm 40 years old, guys. I can't go through the rigors of a training camp and a 16-game schedule and hope to remain healthy and continue to perform at a high level, as you saw over the last couple of years. When he was with the Jets last year with the Vikings, I mean last year with the Packers, his play kind of tailed off at the tail end of the season. So I think people will kind of understand that. I think one of the things that Brett could do is show up for training camp. But, hey, just the coaching staff just knows that he's not going to throw the ball a lot. He's not really going to participate. He's just going to be there. He's just going to be there for the morale of his teammates and whatnot. You know, so he can play it the way he wants to. But last year we came down on him, but he had a phenomenal year. I was telling somebody last night, but I thought Brett Favre had the most impressive year of his career. Impressive because of his numbers were up. He had the least amount of interceptions in his career. And the fact that the man did it at 39 years old with a new team. I thought that was amazing. And he was an MVP candidate up until like week 13 or week 14. So,
yeah, I mean,
if he can come back.
There's no doubt about it. Brett Favre balled last year. I mean, he had a great
game. If he comes back and he plays the way he played last year, I mean, we'll forget about it. We'll go through the same thing again next year if he decides to come back. So,
well, I think what you said though is what you said was you hit the nail right on the head. I think he should be honest. I think I would be surprised to see how the media could pin him to be anything but honest. If he said I'm 40 or next year 41, I can't sit in a training camp that's really designed for younger players and do all of the rigors of a training camp and play a 16 or potentially 20-game season. And I don't need to do that. I don't think there's anything wrong with his honesty. If it comes out, you know, in the right medium, if he said that he does not necessarily need that because he's been he will be a Hall of Famer, first ballot, and I think everyone would accept. There's no need for him to be in training camp. And like you said, going and sitting on the sidelines would, I think, even help the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think just being there would be a morale boost, and then also it would help a quarterback like a Tavares Jackson, you know, just to learn something from Brett Favre in training camp, just to be around him so he can grow so that when Brett finally does decide to retire and retire for good, Tavares Jackson and young quarterbacks that are in camp, right, I mean, that's only going to help them. Being around somebody like him and learning as much as they can from being around him, it will definitely help them throughout their NFL career. But Brett Favre has never been that kind of quarterback to be like a mentor to anybody. You've never seen him really take any quarterback under his wing. You saw what he did to Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's the same thing.
Basically.
So he's not that guy. That's the only knock that I have on it. You know, if you're 40 years old, you don't want to go to training camp, so be it. If your team allows you to do it, your coach wants to pick you up from the airport again in the middle of practice, go for it. If you can get away with it, you got that much juice, go for it. Do what you got to do. I'm not going to hate on them. But at the same time,
Go ahead. We're here with Mike Hill, ESPN. Now, Mike, here in Philadelphia, you have Tevin Cobb, who now will take the reins from Donovan McNabb. McNabb is off to Washington. What kind of year do you think Cobb will have?
I think that's the big question right now in the really in the NFC East. I mean, what is Philadelphia going to be able to do without Donovan McNabb? And, you know, sometimes you don't know what you have until it's gone. I mean, Kevin Cobb showed signs last year, and I think that's one of the reasons that McNabb is gone. I think that's the biggest reason that they let McNabb walk away or let him go or trade him away. It's because of what Kevin Cobb was able to do. He's the first quarterback ever in his first two starts to throw for over 300 yards. I mean, that says something in itself. And I don't care who it was against, he did it against the NFL team in his first two NFL starts. Now, can he do it over the rigor of an NFL season? Can he do it without a running game? Can he do it without that line protecting him? Because remember, McNabb, early in his career, you know, he was a running quarterback. He scrambled. He made things. He made stuff out of nothing. And I don't know if Kevin Cobb can do that. I mean, he's got the weapons around him and DeSean Jackson and guys like that. But can he do that? Can he be that leader? When things go bad, is he going to be able to rally the troops? Is he going to be able to do those things? Is Andy Reid going to have the confidence in him that he had to have in Donovan McNabb because he was with him for so long? That's going to be the big question. That is definitely going to be the big question. But he's got the skills.
He does have the skills, but, I mean, it's only two games. And I'm one of those guys who felt that the Eagles should have kept McNabb because I think McNabb still has 2 to 3 good years of football left. So, I just think they should have kept McNabb. And I don't know what Cobb is. I mean, it's only two games. It's two games, two great games. Yes, I'll give him that. Mm-hmm. But, again, it's only two games.
Yep, only two games, and you know what McNabb did.
Right. What kind of year do you think McNabb will have for Redskins?
I think, you know, he'll have a good year. McNabb, I mean, the thing is, they got Mike Shanahan in there. It's a different system. The offense is going to click. They're going to run the football. That's one thing you know about Mike Shanahan. They're going to run the football. McNabb is going to be motivated. He always going to throw for 3,000 yards, 3,500 yards. 25 touchdowns, you know, 12, 13 interceptions. He's going to have that kind of year. He's going to have a really good year. He's going to be motivated. And the fact that he plays Philadelphia twice, I mean, to be quite honest with you, if he's going to be so motivated, so fired up to play that football game, and I think that's the biggest, the stupidest trade. The reason that this trade is so stupid is because if you're going to trade somebody and you feel like he's still – and I know he's still got something left in his tank – you do not trade them to your division rivals. You don't trade them to somebody within your division. Somebody that you're going to see twice, possibly three times a year. Are you serious? So
it could actually be a two-game swing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, so, you know, you can't tell me that McNabb's not going to be motivated. He's going to downplay it, and all those guys are going to downplay it or whatever, but he's going to be so hyped up, and his teammates are going to be hyped up for him. You always listen to what the NFL players and the players get to play their team again, somebody that they played with for such a long time. And, you know, even the players, the players downplay it. But you'll hear from their teammates, and their teammates, like, we wanted to win this for Donovan, or we wanted to win this for whoever, you know, coming back. So they'll be hyped up for it. They know how special it will be for them to play those two games.
And then definitely two games that I'm looking forward to seeing in this season. Now I want to go to Dez Bryant and his situation. A few days ago, Dez Bryant refused to take Roy Williams' shoulder pads, refused to carry him off the field. You know, typical rookie hazing type of thing. And Dez later came out and said he didn't know. Is the media picking on Dez Bryant here in this situation? Earlier. Go ahead.
I think the reason that this is getting so much play is because of the person that tried to get him to take his pads in. I mean, I think if it were Tony Romo, he probably would have been like, oh, he's going to get it. They probably would have been, oh, the veteran's going to get him. But I think it picked up a little more steam because of Roy Williams is the one who said, you know, take my pads in, rookie. And, of course, we know that Dez is about to take his job away from him, and Roy has been a big-time disappointment. So I think that's the reason that the media has kind of been spending a little bit more. The fact that Dez basically – came out and said, yeah, I didn't know that was part of the tradition. I think that was a bunch of crock, to be quite honest with you. Come on, man. What football player? I don't care who you are. You know, even in high school, we used to do that to the freshmen. In college, you do
that.
So the hazing process has been going on throughout the NFL, college, high school, literally, peewee, you know, all that stuff. Are you serious? And for him to say that, I didn't know I would have done all this. No, I think he was just trying to save face after a while because it just brought so much negative, not necessarily too much negative attention, but it brought, you know, people were talking about it, and they shouldn't be talking about this guy as far as like having a controversy his first day at camp, but just talking about the skills he has and, how, and what a difference he's going to make for the Cowboys team.
You know, speaking of the Cowboys, do you see them this year in a contender position? It is a up and down NFC East, but then, as you said, they have a lot of questions.
I actually see them, depending on what they are. Now they got, I think, Doug Free at their left tackle position. If he can do a good job at the left tackle position, I actually, and this kind of hurts me as somewhat of a Giants fan to say, I see the Cowboys going to the Super Bowl this year. I really see that
wow.
in the NFC. I've been telling everybody that the Cowboys are going to be the NFC's representative to go to the Super Bowl. I know Minnesota is going to be good if it comes back. People are talking about Green
Tony
Bay.
Romo? You
I like Tony Romo.
Romo?
Yeah, I trust him. I think this Dez Bryant kid is the truth, man. And, he's taking over the team. I think that playoff win last year kind of got the monkey off his back. Got the monkey off the Cowboys back. They hadn't won a playoff game since 96. I trust him. I think he'll get the job done. I also trust that defense as well. And I think Wade Phillips, now that he's – last year he had a full year working just being the defense coordinator and making sure that the defense was intact or whatever. The defense is going to be solid yet again. I know they got some secondary concerns or whatever, but top to bottom when it comes to the NFC, I just don't see anybody else out of the NFC really – being that dominant team. The close thing to a dominant team I can see is the Dallas Cowboys. But, once again, hey, they've had expectations the past 4 or 5 years, and they haven't been able to live up to it. So we'll see what happens.
And you still have the Saints, you still have the Vikings far return. So, yeah, I mean, I don't trust Tony Romo, so I can't go with that. I don't trust him. I just don't trust the guy.
A lot of people feel that
but,
way.
But we'll definitely see what happens. But so we got that you like the Cowboys and the NFC. Who do you like coming out the AFC? It's still early. Training camp just started. But who do
I
you
know.
Like?
I mean, I look at the two teams we talked about early in Baltimore, even Cincinnati, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I know it's a long shot, but I don't see any team AFC North with the Pittsburgh Steelers with the Ben Roethlisberger situation. Just don't know. Cleveland's not there, of course. Cincinnati, Baltimore, AFC North. I actually like Miami down in the AFC South, to be quite honest. I mean, AFC East. I like what Miami's doing. I like that.
Not the Jets?
They're deep.
You're not.
Huh?
You don't see the
not
Jets?
The Jets.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, yeah, I know the Jets are this everybody's pick. I know they went to the AFC Championship game last year, but they got so many different parts, man. And people just don't realize, man, you're trying to mesh all these different parts together. And put them in a new team and put them in. I mean, they lost Thomas Jones. You lost a 1,400-yard rusher. That was
oh, there are some question marks. But, I mean, I looked at their youth. I think – and it's a weak division. I think they're going to benefit from a – I mean, a New England team, I think, that's archaically old.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Cleveland's
definitely got questions. I don't see them doing much. And the Jets are going to be there. The Jets will be a playoff team. But I just don't see them running the table.
Here's the one thing I question about the Jets is Mark Sanchez. I mean, he didn't have a – I mean, they kind of hit the guy with the running game that they had. But will he have that sophomore slump? Will he have that sophomore change?
He wasn't. Did he really have an outstanding rookie season? So I don't know if it's going to
no,
be a slump. You can't really slump. So I mean, they hit him because they had a strong running game. They had the number one rushing attack in the National Football. I mean, they had Thomas Jones. I mean, I know Sean Green is going to be a capable, you know, running back. I know LT. I don't know how much he's got left in the tank. But man, Thomas Jones, man, he was able to. He didn't do a lot of flashy stuff, but the fact that he piled up 1,400 yards and you can't remember one run out of him from last year. That tells you how much work he put in. That
he's
right there.
Thomas Jones definitely.
They got a strong offensive line, so we'll see. I mean, Mark, they'll need Mark Sanchez to step up and have a better season than he did last year. And they can't hide him this year because they are going to pile 8 or 9 people in the box and dare Mark Sanchez to beat him. But you know what? We'll see if they. I mean, I know they were going after T.O. and seeing if they can get T.O. or whatever, but that didn't work out. Now hopefully somebody like a Braylon Edwards steps up. Maybe they, you know, now you got to get some. The wide receiver corps got to play at his best. But now,
Right.
You know, that all that comes into play if you don't have the strong running game. The defense, I love the defense because of Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan's defense is the most fun defense to watch in the National Football League. People love watching offense. I love watching defenses. And with Rex Ryan's defense, I can watch that all day.
Now, you said you like the Ravens coming out of the AFC. Even without Ed Reed for possibly six games, it's not more?
That's going to hurt him. That's definitely going to hurt him. But like I said, Rex Ryan is just, he's that guy. Rex Ryan is that, he is that guy. I mean, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I know how much Ed Reed means to that team. I mean, he is Ray and then Ed Reed, 1-1A, as far as the importance of that defense or whatever. But I just think with his schemes and what he brings to the table, I mean, John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh, what he
Ravens,
does
right?
With the Ravens, what John Harbaugh brings to the table and stuff like as far as that defense is concerned, they're still going to fly around. They're still going to be able to get after the football. They still got a great – look at that front. I mean, I know the Terrence Cody had some conditioning problems or whatever, but look at that front right now. You can't run on the Baltimore Ravens with Terrence Cody and Haloti Ngata. You cannot. There is no way – there is no team in the National Football League that's going to be able to run up the middle on those two big guys.
He's still got Ray Lewis. Who's
and he got the Ray Lewis. He got Terrell Suggs. Are you serious? Yeah, they're going to bring the pain. They're going to bring it.
I think they're going to miss Ed Reed a lot more than you think. I really do. I mean, he's a playmaker and he's a guy who makes a lot of plays on that defense. But we'll see what happens. So let's put you down right now here, Mike. You got Dallas in the NFC. We got the Ravens in the AFC. So we got a Ravens-Cowboys Super Bowl.
That's what I have right now. I mean, I have the right to change my mind throughout training camp. But before
the
week of the season, I usually get my Super Bowl pick, and, we'll see what happens.
Well, Mike, thank you for joining us. This is Mike Hill from ESPN. NFL Live does First Take from time to time, does ESPN News, and does SportsCenter. Mike, thank you for stopping by. You got to come on back, sir.
Anytime, my man.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, take care.
So that was it. That was pretty – Dallas Cowboys, I would have never thought anybody's picking the Cowboys this early, but I think
– You can kind of see where he's going with that, though, because, I mean –
Oh, no, I think what he said is – and, again, that's why you see he's on the worldwide leader at ESPN, and as he said, it's pre-training camp, and he's where I think the Cowboys stole. I mean, it was absolute steal, and I think – Jerry Jones, you definitely could see this draft was snake bitten from he had Randy Moss in his they could have drafted him and they passed on him because of some what were perceived character issues and I think this time around they said well character schmarrichter this kid is projecting to be a stud and they got him for nothing.
You talking Dez Bryant?
Yeah, I mean I couldn't agree more with what Mike Hill just said. He is. Definitively, I think in the NFC East, I think he will be the wideout in the NFC East, bar none, this year.
We'll see what happens with that. I mean, Dez Bryant does have some ability and does have some talent. And
Paul, don't forget though, forget about Roy Williams because he's just a complete waste of it. And you have Jason Witten. I think when you look at a great wide receiver, you're going to be even better. With a great tight end, and Witten is a stud, and like you do have Miles Lawson, and they have a good running game. They have a stable in the backfield. So here's a kid that's going to come on the field, and he's going to have an opportunity to do what he does best without having all the pressure of coming in with no real assistance, but having to perform.
Well, I just don't trust Tony Romo.
I couldn't agree more. I don't think he's ever going to really be what the hype of his legacy.
He has ability, but I just don't. I don't.
He's an NFL quarterback. He's an NFL quarterback, and he's got a lot of hype because he is.
Right. I mean, he's a legitimate NFL quarterback. He's a solid NFL quarterback. I just don't trust the guy.
No.
I just don't trust the guy on that stage. I just don't trust him on that big stage. But if you have any opinions on. The NFL right now, Tio and Chad signing. not T.O. and Chad, T.O. signing, and he's joining Chad Ochocinco in Cincinnati. Or if you have any thoughts on Roethlisberger or McNabb or Brett Favre.
No show, Uno.
Give the show a call at 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. Or you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. Now, I want to talk about jilted lovers. We all know Dan Gilbert, after LeBron left, how he came out on LeBron, called him a quitter, told the world that he quit in the series against Boston in games 2, 3, 4, and 6, I believe. Games 3, 4, 5, and 6. One of those games. Anyway, he said he quit in that series. And also, he said that LeBron, they covered up for LeBron and all this other mess. And now you have another person who is coming out against one of the big three, and that's Brian Colangelo, the president of the Toronto Raptors, who came out today and had some interesting comments about Chris Bosh. He basically said Chris Bosh shut it down near the end of the season as the team was battling for the eighth seed in the playoffs, in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And Colangelo was quoted as saying, whether he was mentally checked out or just wasn't quite into it down the stretch, he wasn't the same guy. I think everybody saw that, but no one wanted to acknowledge it. Those are the words of Raptors GM Brian Colangelo. And you know what, Brian? You sound like a jilted lover.
Paul, before you go on to your epithet here, all I want to know is, when are we going to hear from the Reverend? Jesse Jackson. Reference to more racial, epithets being put out there. You're right. He sounds like a total, crybaby.
I wouldn't say racial.
Sure, Paul. He says he quit. He makes the same accusations
But Reverend Jackson just came out with a statement. There weren't many.
He makes a statement about LeBron because Dan Gilbert said this. It's a mirror of each other. They were just except one was.
The statements do mirror each other.
So we better hear from the Rev, or it'll be interesting how the Rev, as I always say, he wants to get himself out there when everyone's watching. He's got to be out there too, eating off of LeBron's coattail. If not, I'm LeBron.
I'm a guy who defended Reverend Jackson on his air.
That's why I wanted you to re-defend him now.
And as far as Reverend Jackson and what his comments were, I mean, some could say that he did piggyback on the whole LeBron issue, and, it was obviously on the front pages of all the newspapers and everywhere. It was on SportsCenter, obviously, and it was on a one-hour special. But, in terms of Reverend Jackson and his comments, the guy the things that he said, there was some truth to what he said. Was his analogy a little questionable? Yes, it was a little questionable. I would agree with that. It's a questionable analogy. But in terms of this Chris Bosh thing, this sounds like a jilted lover, and it sounds like Brian Colangelo. This is a guy who wanted to be with Chris Bosh. He wanted Chris Bosh to be on his team. Chris Bosh didn't want him no more, and now he's going to come out and talk about him. And it's no different if you broke up with your wife, or if I broke up with my wife, or anybody broke up anything. You're going to come out. You're going to speak. People are going to come out and speak bad about an individual, especially if they feel like the person did them dirty. And Chris Bosh didn't do anybody dirty. LeBron James didn't do anybody dirty. Maybe the only thing LeBron James might have done that was a little wrong was have his little decision show. But that's it. This guy's a free agent. Chris Bosh is a free agent. They're allowed to do whatever they want to. And if Chris Bosh says he couldn't go and he's hurt, then the man's hurt.
Well, you know what? We all know. But the fact is, Paul, he did Bosh more than all of the three of them. Wade, LeBron, and Bosh. Bosh quit. The fact is, though, the time to say that was when he quit.
So why are you saying the man quit? The man had a legitimate injury.
He had a legitimate injury.
He had a legitimate injury.
And so did my son over the weekend, but we all know, that that a 2-year-old that has a fractured clavicle and a grown man who's playing on a team that's going nowhere, who has a legitimate injury, could have played. I guarantee
you.
No one
can tell you if you're hurt. No one can tell you if you're
what?
Hurt. I can't tell
and
you.
That's...
I can't tell you that your stomach's hurting. I can't tell you that. I may be able to clear you to play, which he says here. Brian Colangelo said that Chris Bosh was cleared to play, but I guess it was a situation with the pain. He said that maybe Chris Bosh couldn't handle the pain, or the he didn't have the tolerance for the pain.
Let me make a point.
At the end of the day, I can't tell you that you have a stomach ache. I can't tell you got a headache. I can't tell you that your leg hurts. I can't tell you none of those things. So when I get a little upset when guys start to question whether a guy is truly injured or not. It's not fair to the guy.
I don't dispute that, but I guess one of the things where I lost a lot of respect for Colangelo was the fact that you say it now and not during the season. Knowing if you said it during the season, you're never getting him back, but you're at least going to be able to hang your head high and say, you know what, we don't want a guy like you back. I mean, they're never going to get to the top of where they have to go when a player thinks that they're more important than the team. And I'm not disagreeing with you. Whether he had the injury or not, it seems as though Colangelo felt strongly that the injury was not, you know, real or as serious as it was being made to be. And I think, where I had a big problem in all of this is that the time to do this was during the season or where it really mattered. So, I'm sure, Paul, you could at least give me...
That's why you can question what he is saying. It's obviously sour grapes. He's a jilted
lover. Oh, yeah.
But
you'll agree. Bosh may not have been.
You weren't saying that when he was with you. When he was with your franchise, you weren't saying all these things. Now he left your franchise. This guy can't tolerate pain. He's this and that. He essentially quit on you, is what you're telling us. That's what you're telling us, that the guy quit on you. But, again, you can't tell somebody that they're not hurt. If they tell you that they're hurt, it's their body. They know better than you. You can't tell me if I have a headache or not. You can't tell me that. And that's the way I feel about this situation.
You seem to be, I'm going to tell you right now, what I can tell you is you're not hurt, but you're a little emotional right now. Maybe you need a deep breath.
This bothers me. I mean, because this is you're basically defaming this guy. You know, this is not fair. This is not fair to this guy. This guy doesn't deserve that. If he was with you, you would be loving this guy up. Now he's gone. He's the worst thing ever. Now he's gone. He's a quitter. He mentally checked out, as you like to say. You know? I'm bothered by that. Yes, I am bothered by that.
Well, I mean, I'm glad we finally found something that interests you. I mean, who would have known, but... I mean, I think, although, Paul, one of the things I will tell you that I'm somewhat surprised is that you're not at least living in the reality of the fact that this was a man that one of the things Colangelo said that was important to note, he was cleared to play. I mean, keep in mind, Paul, he didn't give the money. The thing, where I do question a lot of these athletes is they're cleared to play, and they're taking the money, but they're saying they're not able to play. If anything, he should have gone for, like, a second opinion and had an independent doc see if he can play or not. And if the docs think you can play, you owe it to the fans. Who you owe it to is your bank account because you're taking the money. If anything, if you can't play, then you shouldn't get paid. Because at the end of the day, Paul, I mean, you and I, we only get so much time in vacation and sick time and accrued time. And then...
I understand that, but you can't compare us. We're common people. We don't. They have.
Oh right, we should because he can dribble a basketball. He can dribble a basketball.
I mean, let's be honest. There, what? 30
What's he doing for the society? What's he doing for
the league? 15 teams on a roster. 15 players on a roster.
I can't believe you said that.
And there's 200 and some odd million people in this country. So these guys have a special talent. It's like other entertainers. They have special talents that a lot of people can't do percentage-wise.
Policemen have special talents,
for that matter.
Firemen have
special
talents
that Chris Bosh has. I can't.
You're an educator, Paul. You were at one point in your life. You were an educator. You have a special talent. I mean, I think policemen, firemen.
But I don't have the special talent that Chris Bosh has.
He can dribble a basketball, Paul.
I don't have the jump shot that he does. I don't have it. I mean, we can't. It's
a jump shot, Paul. It's a jump shot.
It's kind of hard to compare that because the guy was hurt. He got injured on the job. So, I mean, in some respect, it's a workman's compensation issue. He got injured on the job.
He should take that to his workman's comp lawyer.
If you got injured on the job, workman, you would go through the workman's compensation process, and you would get a level of compensation for you not working.
And I'm fighting, Paul, and me and millions of Americans are fighting every day for that right. The only thing that does get to me from time to time with these athletes, and you and I always go back and forth on this, is, I mean, they're guaranteed contracts, and that's why, if anything, I've always been such a diehard NFL fan, is because I think it's interesting. Now they're starting to get into this guaranteed money, but then they can take money back, and so there's still a level of personal accountability. There's no accountability here, Paul.
But if a guy tells you that he's hurt, whether he's cleared or not, if a guy tells you that he's hurt, he's hurt.
Then why do you need medical clearance, though, Paul?
Then why bring
medical clearance?
And it looks like your stomach is not bothering you, I can't say that. It's not for me to say if your stomach is hurting. It's not for me to say if you got a headache.
I can't tell.
It's not my call, and I can't say it. I can't say
Paul, you know as well as I do that if you really do put yourself in the shoes of these general managers in all these sports, the Boz situation, more so than the LeBron situation, does have a level, though, an undercurrent, an undertow, where here's a guy that there was it was fragmented in a medical doctor, a specialist, a guy who, albeit is potentially being paid by the team, and so there is a level, again, of some independent issues. He clears the guy to play, but it's a stomach issue. It's not the arm. It's not the leg. It's not the back. It's not the neck. It's not the shoulder. I mean, it's a stomach issue. Was he queasy? I mean, in a lot of it, Paul, again, I think if the NBA didn't have these ridiculously guaranteed contracts where these players are signing, I mean, look at Elton Brand. These guys, a lot of these players, they take this humongous payout. And case in point is Coleman, Derek Coleman. I mean, the guy was projected was going to wind up winning championship after championship, gets in the NBA, makes multi-million-dollar contract after multi-million-dollar contract, and admittedly, could have cared less if he won or lost, or played or didn't play. It was all guaranteed to him. And he could dribble a ball, Paul.
But it was an injury to his – it was a facial injury that he had.
Come on, Paul. Come on.
And,
I mean,
again, you have situations where guys are cleared to play and they're really hurt and they damage their body permanently. You've had situations where guys were legitimately hurt and the teams cleared them. And they go out there, and they're not 100%. They're not 100%. And everybody has an agenda. The team doctor has an agenda. They want to get him back out there. Obviously, the general manager has an agenda. Obviously, the coaching staff has an agenda. They want to get him back on the court so they can make it to the playoffs and save their jobs. But the bottom line, at the end of the day, if a guy tells me that they're sick, they're sick. And if you tell
me
you can't come, you can't
I'm weak
help.
Right now. I'm weak. I'm glad we have a couple minutes.
All right, so you're weak, and I have to take you on that. You don't sound weak, but you're weak. You're weak, so I have to.
I'm weak in the knees because I'm telling you what I'm hearing is it's scary.
You don't sound weak, but you told me that you're weak, so I have to go with you.
You want me to get a specialist?
Even if a specialist clears you, if you tell me you're weak, you're weak. I have to take you on your word.
It's I can't believe though. But Paul, think of the millions you're paying this guy. Think of the fact that he's basically the only reason these people are coming to see this team.
Just let me interrupt real quick. This doesn't sound like a jilted lover.
I mean, look, I'll give you one thing. You hit the right – you hit the headline topic because that's what it is. I also think, it's not just a jilted lover. I think you're also seeing, though, Paul, you're seeing ownership and management and the humongous disconnect between the ownership and the discongruency between the owners, the managers, and the players. I think a lot of these owners and a lot of these managers, they don't appreciate I think they feel as though these players do not appreciate where they are and the fact that, like I said, you dribble a basketball.
I guess the cat got his tongue. I want to thank everybody for joining. Everybody involved. I want to thank Mike Kittle for joining us. Thank you, Mike. Definitely come back. I want to thank everybody who listened. Have a nice night.